And now we're going to look at the second part of the second reading. We've already considered the first part as 1 Corinthians 12, 3 to 7. And then they skip 8, 9, 10, and 11 and go to 12 to 13, which is about the body of Christ. But I felt that it needed a special treatment because this is such a powerful and unique teaching of Paul about the soma to Christu. And so he's trying to tell the Corinthians and us that we all are part of one reality and we all contribute to it. And so the part that we have in our text for this, you see, is as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also the Christ. Now that's a very interesting statement, isn't it? Utos ke ho Christos. He's not talking about Jesus. He calls the church Christ. See? The Christ, the church is the Christ on earth. We are the body of Christ. It's a remarkable statement. As the soma is one, having many members, and all the members of the body, being one, are still one soma, one body, so and the Christ. So it is with the Christ, with the church. Now that's amazing, isn't it? That the church can be called the Christ. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. Christ dwells in us. Christ moves in us. And this will get developed, as I'm going to mention now. See, it starts, this kind of speech begins in 1 Corinthians, where he's got this exuberant, highly charismatic, not very mature group. And he's trying to help them. So the first part of the letter is all about, look, the man sleeping with his mother, with his father's wife, has got to stop. Even the pagans don't do that. And then, you know, all your other things. And in the last, there in chapter 11, is the disorder at the celebration of the Eucharist. Somebody comes, they want to eat their own meal, they don't want to help anybody else out, and so forth. The things that are, and you despise the poor, and there are divisions among you. Those are all the sins against the Eucharist. Much more important, though we should keep the fast, but these are, you know, these wound the body of Christ. And now what he goes on to say in chapter 12, you see, is I want to tell you, you see, that nobody can say anathema Jesus without this, you know, and be in the Spirit. And he goes through, then he starts to talk about the variety of gifts. And then, after a few lines where he talks about the gifts themselves, might be worth reading. To one is given the logos sophias, the word of wisdom, the utterance of wisdom. Another, the word of knowledge, which is to know the mysteries of Christ deeply and to share them. Another, faith, which means that faith which can build up others and can work miracles, okay? In the same spirit. To another, the charismata iamaton. Literally, the gifts of healings. We usually say the gift of healing, but the gift of performing healings in the same spirit. To another, the working of the effecting of powerful works. It can be of all kinds, okay? Another, prophecy. Another, the discernment of spirits. To another, kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these, the one and the same spirit works, distributing to each one as he wishes. Now those lines, verses 8, 9, and 10, are not in the reading. They're very conscious in the readings of getting the people out so the next, they can get to the next mass. I mean, sometimes it's a bit much, but you have to realize that they have to have these three readings take up just so much time. But if you look at your own Bible, 1 Corinthians 3, starting with verse 3, and then you read yourself 8, 9, and 10, those are the verses I just read to you. He's saying, these gifts, and when they're all moved by love, you have a real community. You see, if the prophet thinks he's a big shot, and the one in tongues thinks he's nothing, you've just corrupted two gifts. Because they have to be animated by love. And that's why now he goes on to say, as the body or a body is one, though it has many members, and all the members of the body, though being many, are one body, utos ke ho Christos, so with the Christ. Now there, it can't mean that Jesus had hands and feet and they're all part of. No, he's talking about the church as the body, which is remarkable, isn't it? He says the same thing when he goes over here to talk about divisions in the church. And he says there, I'm for Peter, I'm for Paul, I'm for Cephas, I'm for this, I'm for that. And he says, is the Christ divided? Is Christ divided? He's talking about the church again. The church is the presence of Christ. We are Christ on earth. And if we really give ourselves to the Lord and become holy, then Christ walks on earth again, preaching his good news, healing, encouraging, forgiving. That's the church, the Christ on earth. We have a great responsibility. One way to ruin the exercise of that responsibility is to divide the church. And Satan has been successful since the 11th century. And our job, this huge job, is to bring it back together. Now, the specific charism of the Pope, as he says in his encyclical Ut Unum Sint, that they might be one, is, he says, my particular ministry is the ministry of unity. I have to bring everybody together somehow. And then he puts out this very beautiful thing. He says, if any of you other leaders or theologians have any ideas of how I can better exercise this ministry, please write and tell me. Because my principal ministry is to minister to unity. And many did. I remember one, I think I mentioned this before, a French Orthodox, whose name, this one I need, it slips my mind, it'll come back. But he starts his letter, Dear Holy Father. It's working for this unity that is spirit-driven. With the world falling apart and being taken over by more and more darkness, the church must be one and shine as one to bring healing and encouragement and turn back the darkness. So that's what he's saying. So now, he goes on in our text, see, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are in one body, utos keho Christos, thus so the Christ, the church. Then he goes on, and in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's the key, baptism. And since all but the some groups, we all baptize. That means we've all laid the grounds for unity. Now, that baptism has to be understood in some groups as a greater indwelling of the Trinity and so forth, but we have the baptism, one faith, one baptism, right? In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether they be Jew or Greek, slave or free, we all drank of the one Spirit, which is interesting, huh? We drank of the Spirit. Not only did He wash our bodies, He fed our spirits and made us whole and strong. And now we all have the same Spirit. One of the great fruits of the charismatic renewal was, as all these groups began to be more consciously moved by the Spirit, we recognized more easily how much we have in common. We haven't finished. But one of the great urgent tasks of our generation and the next is to come together. And I tell you, my friends, that's not just the work of dialogue. That's the work of conversion. That's the work of, you know, if all the Orthodox saints and all the Roman Catholic saints got together, how long would it take them to get together? Maybe that's the way to do it. Skip the theologians and the ecclesiastics. Just get all the holy people together. I mean, I don't know how I would ever work that out and who judges who's holy, but the point is that this is a very holy work, you see? And that's why he says, you see, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, all the social standings, you see, we're free. And we were all given to drink of one Spirit. Now, why does he describe baptism as drinking of one Spirit? I think he's referring to the fact that our spirits take in the Holy Spirit at baptism, right? We're indwelt by the Trinity, but that's activated and made conscious by the Divine Spirit. And that's the secret of unity. If we were all to yield to the Holy Spirit really and knowingly, how long would it take to bring unity? About 20 minutes. That's the key. So that's why it's so important, and why this is given as the first choice for our second reading. And now we're going to look at the second choice after this break.